The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord. As a people who have just witnessed what new life looks like as we celebrated baptism this Easter, and as we renewed our baptismal promises this past Easter Sunday, we're reminded, I hope, by all the effects of baptism in our life, we're different people because of the baptism that we have received. One of the five things that we receive in the sacrament of baptism is the fact that we are brothers and sisters and we call God our Father in the context of the church. So there isn't our understanding of this new family that's formed in the water of baptism like a family is formed by the water of the womb. This new family practices a kind of radical equality. I think that if I were to ask you your impression of the church today, perhaps even compared to what it would have been 50 years ago, hopefully you would recognize that there is a commitment to absolute equality among all the members of the church, including clergy and lay people. And this equality is something that characterizes us as the people of God. But as people, during the season of Easter, we begin to think about the effects of this gift of baptism and the one into whom we are baptized, this body of Christ. There is an identity that comes with this gift. It's interesting, in the gospel, the book of Revelation, where the Lamb is sitting at the center of the throne, it says the Lamb will be the one who shepherds the flock. And as I was reading that, it struck me as being very weird that a lamb would be the one to shepherd a flock, right? I mean, Jesus says, "I'm the good shepherd," so there still is that kind of relationship between shepherd and sheep. But in that image of that eschaton, that kingdom to come, there is even a radical equality between the lamb and the flock. In a certain sense, the Son of God became one of us, so that he would be able to live on the same level that we live on, even experiencing the effects of our sinfulness to the point of death, that he might be able, in that radical equality, to be able to transform our state to something more like his own, the glory that he knew previously. That radical equality takes a different turn in the gospel today, where Jesus starts to talk about how I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice, he says. They are a gift to me from my Father. My Father is greater than all. The Father and I are one. So there's an equality that happens also then between Jesus and the Father. So if A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C. There is a kind of bridge that happens with Jesus, which elevates, or rather, through the lowering of himself in his humility to become one of us, by his sacrifice, he has exalted us to become divine. You and I, by virtue of our baptism, carry around divine life within us. It's something that's so easy to forget every day. My sheep know my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I've talked about this before, I think. I don't know. You never know which mass that you were preaching at when you did a homily before. So if I did this before, I apologize. But when people of Jesus' time would have heard him said that, they would have had a fine-tuned ear in this regard. You can still see it today if you go to the Holy Land. There are common areas where people take their sheep. Shepherds take their sheep to the same places to be out in the sun, to eat the grass, whatever, sit underneath the olive trees. And then the shepherds all, they talk and visit, and they watch each other's sheep while they take naps and things like that. Much like we do today. Very idyllic kind of pastoral scene, right? Tell me if your life is like that. I'd like to come visit you. But at the end of the day, each one of those shepherds will stand at a different side of that pasture and will call their sheep. And there might be four flocks, but they'll all split because they recognize their master's voice. So when Jesus' people heard him say this, they knew exactly what he was talking about. My sheep know my voice, he says. Not somebody else's voice. My sheep are going to know my voice on that last day. I know them. He doesn't say I know their names. He says I know them. Because he went to the trouble to become one of us. He knows everything about what it is to be a human person. He has been everywhere we could go already. It's our identity that he knows. It is our communion with him through our baptism. This is before we even get to Holy Communion. The unity which we have in Christ, which allows us to recognize his voice, and he knows us. So we have that vision of that last day when all these saints are standing around the throne, and the Lamb is there, and it says their robes are all washed white because of all the difficulty of life that they've been through. They've come through the great trial, I think it says. They've passed through death into life. But I don't think it's physical death that they're talking about. It's baptismal death. In our baptism, our whole world is turned upside down. St. Paul says that if we die with Christ in baptism, we will rise with him to new life. Our death is when we lay down our lives for Christ in that baptismal promise, those things we renewed on Easter Sunday, when we re-identified ourselves before God as people who believe, I believe. And when that happens, and you and I become a part of that reality, we have died to ourselves. And in the way that Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days, we live our lives on this earth. It makes life on this earth not sound very exciting, right? But sometimes it makes life seem a little more, makes sense a little more if you think about it this way. We wait for that moment of new life and resurrection when we will find ourselves circling that throne of God, experiencing the fullness of what life is. I've tried this image on eighth graders before, and it's not very attractive to them. You mean to tell me that for eternity, I have to stand around a throne and praise God? But I like to say, well, it's probably more than that. If you can imagine what the absolute greatest joy, feeling of joy might be, praising God isn't going to be a chore. It's going to be a natural response, right? If you could imagine what it is to know everything, the greatest knowledge of all things, to be able to have insight into all these mysteries and questions that we have on this earth, praising God wouldn't be a chore. It would be something you would do naturally because you would have received everything from God. So it's not like it's like this constant having to go to church in heaven. It's the place we want to be. We get a taste of that now, I hope. I think that's why we work so hard to make liturgy such as heavenly as we can, right? But the point is that you and I have received this identity in our baptism. We do have a name, right? And they say that Jesus is going to call that name on the last day. So if your baptismal name is Cornelius, and you've gone through life as Buddy, Jesus is not going to call Buddy on the last day. He's going to call Cornelius. So you better know who you are, right? Now, that's a figurative way of saying that we can pretend like we're all kinds of things in our lives, but we have to know who we are so that when Jesus calls, he knows us, so we need to know ourselves. That we will find ourselves with joy gathering around our shepherd who is one of us, and we will live into eternity in the reality that the life that we live is not simply our human life, but it is united forever with God in his divinity.